census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
You choose me?
I choose violence.
Come on, let's get into character.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 334 of the Throwdown Thursday podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Rahal, but you can call me Patsy the Angry Nerd. We are here brought to you by the Dorkening Network and Deadly Grounds Coffee in the Pat Cave of Magenta Manor, where we frequently, pretty much always broadcast from. I, of course, am not here on my own. I am here joined by my co-host on the show, my co-host in life, she is... The Baroness of Bordeaux, the Countess of Cabernet, the Mistress of Merlot, the Queen Regent of Rosé. She is the Michael Phelps of wine. She is, She is the Real Housewife of Transylvania, the Queen of the Monsters, an honorary Lizzie, and an award-winning filmmaker. She is Ashes von Nightmare.
She is here. You're welcome.
Yeah, I told you before that I'm going to introduce you as an award-winning filmmaker as often as possible. So that's just going to be part of the introduction from now on.
So we actually, before this film festival that I won the award at, we went to a wedding the day before. Now, I had actually already known that I was going to win the award an award. I didn't know which award. It was just kind of like one of those, oh, by the way, you're winning an award. It's like, oh, hey, that's cool. So we go to this wedding. It's Patrick's cousin, and he's telling everybody who would listen, everybody who wouldn't listen, he forced them to listen. So I had like random people who I'd never even met before coming up to me being like, oh, congratulations on your award. I'm like, I don't even know you, but thank you. It's like, I haven't even won it yet, but thanks.
I told you I was going to do that. So that's just the way it works. But yeah, this week we are going to be talking about another award-winning film. We're going to be discussing the surprise out-of-nowhere hit that ended up winning an Oscar for Best Visual Effects. We're going to be discussing the title character from Godzilla Minus One. Spoiler alert, it's Godzilla.
And another, it was definitely in my top three films of last year.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was up there for me with The Holdovers, and I don't know what else I'd put it up there with, but, like, there were a lot of good films that came out last year.
I love me a Godzilla film, but there's something about this one that just...
We'll get into it.
We'll get into it. But it was just so much more than anticipated.
Yeah, it was so much better than we thought it was going to be. And I had a pretty good idea of what, you know, the quality that I was expecting. But we'll get into that. First, we're going to talk about our getting into character. And, you know, we actually were having this conversation the other day where... You know, we were discussing this very topic of our favorite incarnations of Godzilla. And what was nice about Godzilla Minus One was that it didn't follow in the footsteps of the last four or five Godzilla films where they just had to keep making them bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, you know, when it came out in 2014... It was the biggest Godzilla that had ever been put on screen. And then in 2016, when Shin Godzilla came out from Toho, that was the biggest Godzilla that had ever come out. And then when King of the Monsters came out in 2019, that was the biggest Godzilla. So it's like,
turned into a dick measuring competition.
It was a kaiju measuring competition. Yes. And I'm glad that minus one kind of got away from that.
But we'll discuss it. But it was more so like a quality over quantity type of thing when it came to the design.
I think he didn't need to be 400 feet tall.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons. You know what? I'm just going to stop right there because that's what we're talking about this week. So our getting into character question for this week is which.
Your favorite
Godzillas, because every film he's slightly different.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time there was a lot of it was like pretty much the same suit or same couple of suits.
But even then, like, there were some slight adjustments.
It wasn't always
the same suit, or it was the same suit, but they added to it. You know, it was a combination of a guy in a suit and, you know, stop motion animation.
Or suit motion, you know, as we saw with Shin Godzilla.
Yeah.
I mean, the first suit that they ever had. That 1954 suit, the way they built it, like the guy inside, he lost like 2 cups of sweat every hour. Like he was in there. He was so dehydrated and lost so much weight.
It was a rubber suit.
It was like, yeah. And then like, they're like, well, we have to fix this. And it was basically like wearing a sauna, especially under all those lights and with all the explosions. And, you know, he actually fell off the stage a couple of times, you know, stomping on the miniature city, because you can't see in that. Like, you just have to... That's part of the reason why he moves the way he does. Ashes, do you want to go your list, my list, or do you want to go back and forth?
Right. We can go back and forth. So I did a top three, and I did an honorable mention.
Well, I have a top five.
Okay. So
I'll go first, then.
Okay, you go first.
That way we...
Well, actually, no. Now I think about it, I can...
You want to add another one?
Well, okay, so let me see, top three. Okay, you know what? I have a top five.
Okay, well, you go
first. I have
a
top five. So number five on my list, so no honorable mentions then. I'm going to throw my honorable mention into my top five. So number five on my list is going to come as no surprise. It's the most recent incarnation of Godzilla, who I lovingly called Pinkzilla. And we're actually going to talk about Pinkzilla coming up in one of the next episodes.
Yes.
So I'm not going to talk too much about the creature design and stuff, but I love it. I love that it's different. It's a different look for Godzilla. Like, girl, love what you did with your hair.
Snatched waist.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Like, homegirl is looking good.
Better work.
she's working on her audition tape for RuPaul's Drag Race.
Hot Lizard Summer.
But yeah, I just thought it was fantastic. It was such a different take, and I loved the reasoning why.
We won't get into spoilers.
But
right now.
Right. So like, they kind of give you a reason, they allude towards something, but then it might be something else. But that's all I'm gonna say for
everything
right now.
Everything that they showed in the trailer. That all the speculation that we had was incorrect. So that's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
Like, I just went with MonsterVerse Godzilla because I loved the chonky design of the 2014 Godzilla. I loved the way the dorsal plates looked. I loved how he looked charging up. I remember when we saw that movie in the theater, you stood up and cheered when he blasted the Muto.
It was just so exciting.
Like, I thought I was excited to see Godzilla, and she's like, yeah, I guess I'll go with you. Like, I don't know, lizards, gross. And then, like, you got so excited when he just fucking annihilated that Muto. Like, barfing the laser beam down his neck. Like, that was amazing.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I had a night like that back in like the early 2000s. But
laser
sure.
Barf.
Yeah.
So what's your number four?
You drink it. Is it that Hypnotic? The blue shit.
I don't know. I was an adult at that point and didn't have to drink like that.
The my early college years. Oof. Choices were made. So next on my list is Godzilla Final Wars. That is the one where he looks like the kitty. He looks like he has cat ears. And there's just something...
He's got the derpy little cheeks.
I was going to say, there's something so adorably derpy about him and very cat-like, which is something that kind of comes back in the most recent incarnation of Godzilla, and we will talk about that soon.
Yes.
But it's so kind of like this this lizard cat hybrid creature.
They definitely tried to make him like more appealing to kids, not so much like the Showa era when it was like, you know, he's jumping up and down and like like super doofy.
I am Godzilla.
With the big eyes.
Look at what I can do.
No, I'm just sitting around lonesome because I got no friends.
Oh, Minya.
But yeah, he definitely
Minya looked... won't be on any lists anytime soon.
Worst Godzilla characters. I think worse than Minya would be Gabra, because Gabra's the guy that he beat. It's like, wow, you suck. You lied to Minya. I really liked that one. I have Space Godzilla on mine. I loved the fact that when he was flying through space at the beginning, you could kind of see that he was like a Godzilla outline. And they're like, we don't know what to do about this. I don't know. Let's shoot rockets at it. So they shoot rockets at it and explode it. And oh, it's like giant crystal Godzilla with like his...
Goji in space!
Pretty much. Like, and he comes down and he has a pretty good fight with Godzilla. Like, it's really good. Like, he trashes Kiryu and like... Yeah, it's a fun one, and I love the design. It's like him on steroids, but with like really pointy shoulders, almost like similar to like the Doomsday design of the comic book character of Doomsday from DC Comics that killed Superman in the early 90s. Just like really aggressively crystalline and jagged, and I like that one. Who's number three?
So next on my list is Godzilla 85 or 84, depending on where you are. But
Godzilla, I forget. It's not Godzilla Raids Again. That's the Rodan one.
But for our purposes, we're going to call it Godzilla 85. There's something about the way that Godzilla's face looks. So he has like, and for a while he had those realistic looking eyes, like with the whites and the irises and everything, and like
they
his
didn't
eyes
look plastic.
Are, well, no, but they did. And this they did. Like they looked really fake. They look human like.
Oh yeah, cuz he went that was after the Showa era.
Yeah, so like very human like eyes. And then he has like a furled brow. And like a scrunched face, he kind of looks like a disappointed dad.
I have
like
Godzilla
he's not mad. He's just disappointed, Godzilla.
I have that on DVD somewhere.
But there's something Blu-ray. So like I don't know. There's just something so cute about his face. I don't know. I just love it. There's also something the early renditions of Godzilla had like this derpy factor to him.
It's because they didn't quite know how to make it, because he was like for certain scenes he was a puppet.
Yeah, I was gonna say definitely during like the this man in a suit stop motion, you know, puppet years, like for, you know, yeah, he was really derpy looking. And there's something about Godzilla 85. I just think he's so derpy.
We've talked about Godzilla 85 a few times.
Godzilla.
Because
I'm gonna smash in your city.
That was one of those things that was one of the movies that my brother and I used to rent all the goddamn time, and we cried at the end of that movie every fucking time, because the end of the movie, they blow up a volcano and he falls into the volcano, and your heart breaks. You're so sad because he falls into the volcano and you're like, oh no. But like, I used to watch a lot of Godzilla movies on TV, like WLVI 56 creature double feature type thing. But I never knew what order it was in. I just knew like this one was, because it was like 86, 87 that we were watching it. So I was like, oh no, they killed Godzilla. He'll never come back again. Like, I didn't understand just how powerful Godzilla is. I'd never seen the 1954 version where, spoiler for a 70-year-old movie, he dies, but like they kill Godzilla in the first movie, but like he comes back obviously, but it's just a different Godzilla, and then they use that skeleton to create Mechagodzilla. And then it's haunted by the spirit of the original Godzilla. This is a weird series of films. But yeah, Godzilla 85 has a special place in my heart. Next, I'm going to go Godzilla Earth, because this is the Netflix series that came out. And when we were talking about the kaiju dick measuring contest, nobody really can hold a candle to Godzilla Earth. He is just over 1,043 feet, 318 meters, and he weighs 100,000 tons.
Oh, he's chunky.
So he's very big, and he definitely he looks like he's made of plant matter. And I didn't really watch the show. Like, I watched a little bit of it, but it was kind of boring and stupid.
Kind of like the Gamera show.
Yeah, we didn't finish the Gamera show.
Just to fucking hate the kids.
Yeah,
it's
take
too
the
much
humans
kids
out of it. Take the
it's
humans
stupid
out of it. Take
kids.
The kids. Well, Gamera, it's always kids.
Right, but like, they chose like the
suck.
Stupidest fucking kids, like stupid kids.
But Godzilla Earth, like, he has this really cool, like, he looks like he's carved out of wood, and he just gets bigger and bigger and bigger until he eventually like fights that weird space Ghidorah, and like he's about 2.5 times the size of MonsterVerse Legendary Godzilla. Like, because he's about 394 feet tall, and this Godzilla is 1,000 feet tall, like 1,500 feet long, because you got a nose-to-tail type thing. So, yeah, he's ridiculously huge, but I really like his design. I think he's cool. What's your next one?
So next on my list is Godzilla 54, you know, the original. There's something about the original design, the guy in a suit, the way that they were able to capture everything. So, you know, for the time, that design was terrifying.
It was designed to look like victims of radiation, and like a lot of the opening scenes. If you remember, way back in episode 1 of this show, we covered Godzilla. This is before you had joined the show. But he was supposed to look like someone who was scarred from, you know, radiation burns. And a lot of what happened at the beginning of that movie had been taken from eyewitness accounts of the A-bomb being dropped on Hiroshima. So, like, they incorporated it. It ended up being nominated for Best Picture at the Japanese Oscars, or their, I don't know what it's called, but their version of the Oscars. It lost to The Seven Samurai, so no shame there, but it was rectified this past year when Godzilla Minus One finally got the Best Picture award. So... 54, that's one I need to rewatch. It's been a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is the shirt that I wore, because in 2014 you got me a bunch of Godzilla stuff for my birthday, which, you know, happened again this year.
Well, you know, when Godzilla stuff comes out around your birthday, it's just, you know.
Well, it's also an anniversary. 2014 was the 60th anniversary. This is the 70th anniversary. So let that be a lesson to you, kids. Godzilla didn't get his first Oscar till he was 70. So just keep trying. You're not too old. Keep pushing.
But I love the details that they were able to capture, even in black and white.
He was green. Like, the suit was green.
And again, just being a huge fan of practical effects, you know, the way that they were able to, you know, use models and just kind of the way they were able to really capture the effect of everything. I just thought it was so well done. Like, it still holds up, obviously.
Actually,
like, it's still, like, the impact of that film is still there, and you know, I the design of the creature is just fantastic.
About 10 years ago, a listener actually sent me, because I always, when I was a kid, all I wanted was an inflatable Godzilla, and a listener sent it to us. So I may have to take that out once I rearrange the studio for the 957th time, and you know, inflate it, see how that, how it looks. For me, I'm going to go with Godzilla Minus One as my number two, because the way that he looks in this, from the beginning of the movie to the evolution of the Godzilla creature, you know, because it really captured the spirit of 50s films where there were so many movies about radiation, you know, mutating stuff, but all it really did was make it way bigger, like giant ants or giant crabs, you know, things like that. Basically, what Godzilla Minus One does is it takes this existing creature, sets off the A-bomb near it, and it gets bigger and, you know, more scarred. So we'll get into the design a little bit more, but this is my number two design. So what's your number one?
Shin Godzilla.
That's my number one.
I fucking love the design of Shin Godzilla. He's giant.
He's giant.
And he's terrifying looking. And there's something about...
That nonstop evolution.
Yes. And there's something almost corpse-like.
Yeah, he's very...
To him. Like, he's massive, but he's also gaunt.
Yeah, he's got big old chunky legs, so he can walk on land. But it takes some of the aspects of previous incarnations of Godzilla, where as it's going under, if it's undergoing these evolutionary changes, it's overheating. And like its atomic breath and the fire and everything that it releases is its way of cooling itself down, because every time it releases all that energy, it either goes back into the water or just kind of stops, like shuts down, for lack of a better term, almost like going into a coma so it can re-energize itself. It's so good. And when Japan comes out with these movies, when they make a serious Godzilla film, I know that's, you know, so many franchises, and I think we'll do one later this year. We're the first film, we did this with Rambo, where the first film is like this serious, like, story being told about a serious issue. In this
right,
case,
it's to serve as a metaphor,
right, for nuclear power or whatever. And now, you know, and then it just turns into like ridiculous rubbery monsters punching each other.
We're going to talk about that during our discussion, because that has a lot to do with Godzilla Minus One.
Yes, so like Shin Godzilla, where it was, where the original Godzilla was, this is a metaphor of, you know, atomic energy just running rampant on the people of Japan. Shin Godzilla was more the bureaucracy. Like, we don't know how to handle this. Well, let's assemble a committee to choose a subcommittee who can decide on whether or not we think we should consider doing something about this. And it's like, Every time something happens, they're like, all right, well, we have to form a committee. We have to do this. We have to do that. It's like, just fucking do something. It's like, nope. We can't just make a decision. We have to form a committee, you know, have a bunch of people come in. We have to vote. We have this expert that says, you know, the animal won't come on land. Another one says that it's not an animal. Somebody else says it's an eel. Somebody else says, it's like, all this stuff keeps happening, and they're like, well, we could use our defense system. Well, no, we can't really use the defense system because we're not really at war and we're not allowed to shoot missiles at any... It's like, oh my fucking God. like, and you see how frustrating it is. That is actually a metaphor for the 2011 tsunamis, where there's this natural disaster and they're like, well, we don't know what to do. There's nothing, nothing's ever happened like this before. It's like, so make a decision. Well, I can't make a decision. I'm going to have, you know, let's form a committee. Let's have a committee make a decision. Like, but not this committee. Let's have a committee to choose the people who are going to choose the next group of people who are going to decide what to do.
I also, kind of just getting back to the creature design of Shin Godzilla, and I feel like we're just going to have to do an episode on this because...
Oh yeah, I'll watch it again.
It's you know, I feel like it's warranted at this point. But the teeth, the mouth, there's something... Yes! Oh, I think that might be my favorite part. Like, of the creature is the mouth design. It's so good. It almost looks like an anglerfish.
Yeah.
The way that, like, the jaw, like, all the teeth are, like, jagged and misplaced.
They're
and everything
not symmetrical whatsoever.
Yeah,
the jaw,
but, like, everything
every
kind of, like, closes together.
Jaw, he, like, bites
yes.
into himself.
Yes.
Another thing that I noticed that I thought was interesting, and it's the only Godzilla that I'm aware of that does this, is he has a nictitating membrane, sort of like a shark, where... his eye is vulnerable, so when he goes to use his atomic breath, the membrane goes up over his eye to protect his eye from the heat from his blast. So that's those are our favorite Godzillas. Why don't you tell us some of yours, and we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to discuss the Godzilla of Godzilla Minus One. Back. That, of course, was the famous Godzilla suite, which Ashes has no idea how that song even goes. I'm like humming it, and she's like humming something completely different. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, the Godzilla song? I'm like, no. So I played it, and she's like, yeah, you know, I'm like, what the hell? And she's like, I'm sleepy. It's like, yes, let's wrap this episode up so we can go to bed because we are both sleepy and it's been a long, what the hell is it, year so far? Everything's been stressful and busy, so we want to get this episode recorded, get it out to you folks. And then we can go to bed.
But so, here's the thing. I always have time to talk about Godzilla.
Oh, yeah, I do, too. That's
what
I'm saying.
I will always make time for Goji. There's always time for Jell-O. There's always time for Goji.
So it's always room for Jell-O.
Yes. just like I know the Godzilla song.
Jesus. Yeah, so this is what I've been dealing with.
You're welcome.
So for my birthday this year.
Big whoop.
God, Jesus. Minus One came out. Godzilla X Kong came out right before my birthday, a few days before. And so Ash's got me the little squishmallow guys of Godzilla and Mothra.
They're so cute.
They're derpy as hell, but they're cute.
Oh, they're so cute.
And then she got me a giant, fuzzy, warm blanket that has all of the original Toho movies, like the poster art for every movie. Like, that's the design of the blanket. And on the bottom, it has giant kanji that says Godzilla. So I actually got to use that a couple weeks ago.
Because it got really fucking cold. And it snowed.
Well, no. Like, I haven't really had a chance to, like, sit on my recliner and, like, just veg out for a while because we've been so busy doing stuff. We were just AD on... I was first AD, you were second AD on Gabrielle's film, Le Monstro, which we are currently running an Indiegogo for. So keep an eye out for that link and, you know, contribute if you can. We're looking for some finishing funds so we can get that out. And I'm telling you, the opening shot of this film is one of the best opening shots I've ever seen. Ben Heald and Cody Fraser using the dolly and the camera. It was like watching a Renaissance painter. It was amazing. But enough about that. Let's talk about the other Monstro.
Okay, so here's my thing, right? Like, I had this thought earlier today. We know a lot about Godzilla, you know, the different stats, you know, like the height and weight and this and that and the other thing and, you know,
he
creature
likes long
design
walks on the beach.
Concepts. Well, that's what I'm getting at. But we don't really know a lot about Godzilla. Like, what does he eat? Does he like ice cream? What's his favorite flavor?
What's your favorite dinosaur?
No, but like, we don't know, like... his excrements. You know, that's one thing that Jurassic Park really got. Like, they just took that question right off the table. They're like, oh, you know what? People are going to be asking about dinosaur poop, so we're just going to give it to them right off the bat. Like, in the first, like, half hour, boom, dino droppings. Like, big are Godzilla's poops?
I don't think Godzilla... I don't believe his... system works that way because he doesn't eat traditional food.
So, like, what I need is, like, a documentary, you know, voiced, narrated by David Attenborough. Here we have the elusive Godzilla munching down on his favorite ice cream, boysenberry. I feel like Godzilla would be a boysenberry kind of guy.
No. If anything... he's getting something with chunks in it.
He's getting birthday cake.
He's getting something with chunks in it. Probably
confetti cake ice cream.
Probably like Rocky Road or cookie dough. Probably coffee, because that dude needs a lot of energy. Now, the reason I don't think that Godzilla's system works that way is... he feeds on radiation. So when you feed on radiation, there's no waste product. What his food source goes to is regenerating.
So, like, no one's ever baked him some radioactive cupcakes?
No, it is
Happy
very
birthday,
hard to spread uranium frosting. No, he just absorbs everything and it either gets stored... kind of like a camel stores water, or it gets used up to kind of heal him, as we saw in King of the Monsters, where he was severely injured by the oxygen destroyer, and they were able to heal him and supercharge him by detonating an atomic bomb in his face, which just goes to show how resilient he is, because the epicenter of a nuclear explosion is around 4 million degrees, which is hotter than the surface of the sun. So, in addition to phenomenal resilience, which we get to see in Minus One, and there are going to be some minor spoilers for this as we go through, because it's going to be hard to discuss the feats and accomplishments of Godzilla when it comes to why he is such a threat without spoiling some of the stuff that happened. So if you have not seen it, it'll eventually be on physical media. I don't know what to tell you other than give you a torrent of advice about how to, get this potential, how to potentially see it. So I would, So when we are introduced to this Godzilla, and I will also preface this by saying, something we talked about in the first segment, how we generally hate the human characters, and it's like, I don't care about the human characters, show me giant monsters wrecking stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see. This was the first time I was like invested in the human characters. I cared about them. They were a huge important part of this, and they drove the story. It wasn't just a mindless monster film, and that's what made it so good.
Well, you know, you have the reason why Godzilla was acting the way that he was, and you felt for the monster, but you also felt for the people too. Like, oh, and it really goes back to the roots of what the Godzilla, what Godzilla stands for.
Yes.
You know, the metaphor for war, and, you know, kind of, you know, the nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, the attempt to harness nature and control it, and when you do so, you realize that you really have no control whatsoever. You know, we saw, like in the 1954 original film, he was rampaging, for lack of a better term, through all these villages and then through downtown Tokyo and causing all kinds of damage, but there wasn't any purpose behind it. It was just, I'm going from place to place and I'm so big I'm knocking stuff down, like a bull in a china shop.
Mm-hmm.
This Godzilla, who was living peacefully on Odo Island in, much the same way Kong was living on Skull Island, living on Odo Island, you know, as part of the natural ecosystem of that era. He was large. He was about 15 to 20 feet tall. He was big enough to attack and destroy a plane and take out an entire, small military encampment.
But he wasn't giant.
He wasn't the massive monster towering over skyscrapers that we see.
Right.
He doesn't do anything. Honestly, he frightens the people who are on this island. They are in his home. They're in his domain. And he doesn't do anything until they attack him. He responds. Unlike a lot of versions that we've seen of Godzilla, there is a mindfulness and an intelligence that goes beyond primal instincts of just, you know, responding to stimuli. He understands that there are people here and they shouldn't be here, and he is curious about them, but he's not sure if they're a threat. And, you know, when you're 25 feet tall, you know, a 6-foot human is not a threat to you. You know, if I was walking through, somebody's house and a guinea pig came out, I wouldn't be like, oh no, a guinea pig. Like, I'm significantly larger. This thing is not a threat to me. But when they attack it, like if the guinea pig started, like, you know, shooting me, I would, you know, with a guinea pig gun, which would just probably shoot like marshmallows
more guinea
or
pigs.
Something. Yeah, just shoot some more guinea pigs at me. then I would defend myself.
Right, but this is, you know, so this film starts at the end of World War II. The bomb had gone off, and Godzilla is pissed.
It hadn't gone off yet, because it was after Pearl Harbor, but before the bomb went off, because they were still using kamikaze pilots, which is our main character, was a guy who was supposed to die for his country, but was like, hey, there's a problem with my plane. So we landed it, and they're like, there's nothing wrong with your plane. He's like, I am pretty sure the sail is broken. And they're like, planes don't have sails. He's like, the mast, like, planes don't have masts either. He's like, the catalytic converter. And they're like, you just don't want to, like, blow yourself up for a country that will forget you 5 minutes after you do it. No, my tummy hurts. And I was expecting an important phone call. So, you know, obviously I'm exaggerating, but he broke off from his group, and then Godzilla attacked him and the rest of the people at this base on Odo Island, where they would go to get their planes repaired. And he had the opportunity, while sitting in his plane, he had Godzilla in his sights, because he hid in his plane, and he could have shot it, but chose not to because he was too terrified. And he was branded a coward and a pariah once he made it home. Like, wait, why are you here? Weren't you a kamikaze pilot? Like, oh, you suck. You should be dead right now. So it's like, that's the culture. And when he arrives home, it is after the war. But, you know, we see the devastation that has occurred in his home village, which is on the outskirts of either Hiroshima or Nagasaki. But it's not until 1954... when the Bikini Atoll tests, the Castle Bravo tests, which we also get to see in the original Godzilla and the Apple TV MonsterVerse series with Kurt Russell, that is the test that really caused an issue, because we get to see that on the screen, and then we hear the Godzilla roar. That is the driving force. Not the original atomic bomb, but the test of the more powerful. It's like, okay, we did this. We dropped these two bombs. Let's just keep making more bombs and disrupting the natural order. Like the Godzilla we see in the MonsterVerse, the legendary films, he is a guardian of nature. He is there to restore balance to the... I almost said economy.
Force.
I almost said the economy. The ecological balance of the world. You know, when you know something tries to disrupt that, he puts it back in its place. So this film, I think we listed it as one of our favorite horror films of the year.
Oh yeah, it was number one on my list last year. Because it's absolutely terrifying. We have not seen Godzilla like this.
He was purposefully...
He was pissed.
He was... Like, because of what happened to him.
Fucking pissed.
So he lost his home, and then, you know, the test mutated him. He became massive. He was about, I want to say about 150, 160 feet... So roughly the same size as the 1954, 50 meters is about where they had him. And he was absolutely brutal. This was, a purposeful attack on the people of Japan.
Well, because he just associated people with the bad things that happened. So even though these people weren't the ones who caused the problem, weren't the one who, you know, caused him all the discomfort and made him lose his home and stuff. He just, people equal bad.
That's where, yeah, because he was originally disturbed on Odo Island by the Japanese, and he's also attracted to radiation, and it's like, these people won't stay out of my territory. I have to do something to get them away from me. So he starts absolutely annihilating everyone. So they're doing everything that they can to stop him, but they manage to injure him, but he regenerates, and they watch him regenerate, and they're like, shit, what can we do? How do we stop him?
So this is the first time that I found myself watching a Godzilla film and not rooting for the monster. You find yourself really feeling for these people. And I mean, honestly, I kind of wanted everyone to win, you know, Godzilla and the people. But you really feel for the people because they just went through this war where they did not win. And this bomb just completely eradicated most of the country.
It's absolute devastation.
You know, so not only, you know, are they trying to come to terms with the fact that they have to rebuild, you know, a lot of these people, they lost everything physically, you know, people, they lost their families, their homes, you know, so dealing with that, trying to recover, trying to rebuild and deal with the mental and physical repercussions of nuclear war. But now you have this giant monster who's just wreaking havoc all over the place and causing even more destruction and despair. Like, these people, they're just so hopeless at this point, trying to find something to hold on to, trying to find something worth living for, because it's just all destruction. It's just all bad, one thing after another. You know, so like, it's absolutely heartbreaking in the way that they portrayed it on the screen and the actors that they got to portray these characters. Just, oh, like, I didn't expect so much just raw emotion coming from a monster film.
Yeah, it was the first time since Godzilla 1985 that, you know, I cried at a Godzilla film.
And it was absolutely terrifying because Godzilla had zero remorse.
Yeah, he was walking
Godzilla was purposely
stepping on people,
going out,
yes,
like going out of his way to make sure that he caused as much destruction as possible.
Like walking over to that building and trashing the building and like eating the guys off the top. Even though like he doesn't need to eat people, but like, it's scary, like destroying the train.
So here's the thing, though. He doesn't eat the people. Like, he bites them in half, but Godzilla doesn't eat people.
Well, he munched them up.
No, because it has a, hold on, I actually have something in my notes here. Yeah, so, okay, no, this is during the attack on Odo Island. Sorry. So yeah, during the attack on Odo Island, Godzilla bites down on the mechanics to kill them, but does not eat them. This follows a rule long ago established by Toho that Godzilla must never be depicted eating human beings.
Okay, because I'm going to have to rewatch it at some point.
Yeah, so now I'm going to have to rewatch
because
it because I'm trying
to
remember.
He ate the guys off the building. He might have just munched them up and like
spit them out.
Yeah, but like he was stepping on people, he was whipping his tail.
He was ruthless and brutal.
It was absolutely vicious. And this spoiler alert for future episode, this was probably the best depiction of his atomic breath that has ever been put to screen. When usually it's like the spines light up and you hear this charging up sound. And he just expels this beam of, you know, radiation or force or heat in the original. Because it wasn't like a blue beam of energy.
No,
it was
no.
just kind of like heat because it melted everything around him. It was basically like the expulsion, like he had built up too much energy.
But what was different, though, is the way he looked afterwards. Like he, there was like an emaciation to him.
It wasn't an emaciation. It was the scarring and the burning.
But like we have never seen Godzilla look this tired, this exhausted after an atomic blast.
The closest
breath.
That we came, like I said earlier, was Shin Godzilla.
Yeah.
But that was a totally different
circumstances. It takes so much out of him in order to do this, which is why he only does it a few times.
He reserves it.
You know, it's almost like it's a last ditch effort for him.
Three times. One is this scene in was it Ginzu? That was the first one. And we saw this in the trailer where the spines pop out one at a time from his tail up to his shoulders, and then they all almost like the hammer of a gun,
and then go back in.
They go back into him, and then he fires the atomic breath, and it leaves a mushroom cloud, which also we've never seen before, and then a shockwave, and then like you know he's burned and emaciated, almost like. You know, it takes a lot out of him, you know, internally and externally, and he has to go and he has to regenerate and heal. Like, that's when he's most vulnerable. We see it again when he blows up one of the boats.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third time he charges up at the end. You know, at the climax of the film. But
it wasn't one of those, you know, like you were describing what I did during the 2014, you know, Godzilla film that came out. You know, it was kind of like, he's doing it. Yay!
It wasn't a heroic moment.
It was honestly like terror. Just like, oh my God. Like, don't get me wrong. So unbelievably cool looking.
It was fucking amazing.
But it was just the way that it was depicted and the force necessary in order for Godzilla to expel this energy and what it took, like visibly took out of him, like the entire, you know, and obviously what he did with it, what he, you know, the destruction that it caused, right? Like the whole thing was just absolutely horrific.
I do want to point out that again, this movie won an Oscar for best visual effects, and what's unique about that is, A, it's a Godzilla movie winning visual effects, but what's really unique is they didn't have a huge effects budget. Like, they didn't have a huge budget. I think this was a $15 million film. But they saved, like, the really good visual effects for when Godzilla would be really seen. Like, at the beginning, he kind of looks like a PS2 cutscene. Like, it is not great CGI. It looks like something you'd see from the early 2000s, like Lawnmower Man levels of CGI. But then when you see him with that scene, and you see him when he's chasing the boat like Jaws, or, you know, the final scene, that's when they really put everything into it. They're like, all right, it's kind of, let's make this dark. You can't really see him. Like, you can see that he's there, but, like, we don't need to waste our budget on this. Let's have it happen at night so you can't see him that well anyways. And then really, really just go for it with like that main scene.
Well, and this is the first time we really visibly see an evolution within the Godzilla character.
Well, second time.
But I mean, like, not this drastic.
Well, I'm talking, you know, Shin Godzilla, like, that's all he did was evolve.
Right, but what I'm saying, though, yeah, like, his evolution wasn't as drastic as, I mean, because this Godzilla starts out as a juvenile?
Right, but...
And then grows to being full size.
He doesn't grow, he was full size... At the beginning, it's the radiation that mutated him.
Okay, right. But like, but you really see the evolution of this monster.
Right, but I still disagree because...
Okay, well, whatever.
Shin Godzilla starts off as a tentacle, and then he turns into a weird fish monster. And, like, he doesn't even have arms for the first half of the movie. That's he goes through, like, six stages.
You're just sitting there lonesome because you got no friends.
Listen, I'm Minya.
But no, what was crazy about the visual effects for this creature? So all 610 of the film's visual effects shots were handled by a crew of 35 artists that took them 8 months.
That sounds about right.
That's it. That's what
But yeah, that sounds about right. Like, especially, it's... There is a specific reverence. I don't think in America we have anything that we hold that dear to us that we would be so painstaking about. Godzilla is something that when you are allowed to make a Godzilla film and you are doing it the way Yamazaki did it, this is... like a sacred, like, you have to do this, you have to do it right.
So he actually talked about that in an interview, and he said that, you know, American Godzilla, they really just focus on him being monstrous. He's just a big monster doing monster things. But for the Japanese, Godzilla is godlike. Like, he is, hold on, let me find the quote. "The point of international Godzilla is that he's a really powerful monster, but a Japanese Godzilla is halfway a godlike creature in many ways. Not necessarily a religious god, but more like a Japanese god, a malevolent and destructive one."
Oh, yeah, he's more akin to, like, he's a force of nature. Like, that's what Godzilla is. Like, he's always been... throughout every incarnation, he's always been a force of nature. Whether it's, you know, to protect humanity, whether it's to protect his territory, whether it's to get revenge, whether it's just to be the embodiment of the unstoppable force of nature, as we saw in Shin Godzilla. Like, there was no... there was no method to his madness. There was no ultimate goal that he had. He wasn't like, I have to fight this monster to restore balance to the earth or to nature. It wasn't, oh, something's in my territory. It was just, I am forcibly being evolved against my will, and I'm just doing what I would normally do in that situation. Like, it came on land and lost its gills and walked upright. Like, it was just moving from one place to another. It was going in a straight line. Like, there was no... it wasn't like taking a detour. It wasn't specifically going somewhere. It was just moving in a straight line, and it went from swimming to kind of just barreling through when it had... kind of like fish legs. Like, it was just barreling through, knocking things everywhere. Then it stood up. And those were some really awesome visual effects, because you could literally watch it evolve. Like, it would kind of stop, and, like, the whole body would ripple. And, like, mm-hmm. you'd start to see, like, the nubs of the arms, and, like, the chest would start to switch. And then it actually stood up at one point, and then... didn't know how to walk because it had only had legs for like 15 minutes, and it fell forward and like absolutely just fell through a building, but just kept going. Like, it was just something was in its way, and it didn't matter. There was no obstacle that was going to stop it. Whereas this Godzilla was like, I'm going to find the most people I can find and just fuck them up. Like, it responded to, you know, threats against it. Which, you know, that's the thing about Godzilla. It's always a vicious cycle where it's like, Godzilla exists. Quick, we have to kill this thing. Like, and then it responds like, holy crap, this thing's fucking us up. Like, we're not very good at killing Godzilla. And then he gets mad and like wants revenge. So I don't know. That's just always how it is. Do you have other stuff you want?
I do, actually. So I want to take a moment to kind of talk about the design of Godzilla. So the look of this Godzilla, though done with CGI, was meant to be reminiscent of the classic, quote, suitmation technique, with the posture more upright rather than leaning forward. The design mixes elements from several prior films, with the strongest influence being the 90s VS series Heisei-era design. And since the crew created this Godzilla in digital form, it allowed for much more detail than what was possible with any type of handcrafted version. They were able to increase the resolution of the scales, for example, and make them feel really, really sharp and give it this aggressive texture. And in terms of the bottom half of Godzilla, they made him very heavy and dense in a way that made the viewer feel like this mountain and triangular silhouette was walking and moving through a space. And they flat out, so Yamazaki said that his main attempt was to make this Godzilla the most horrifying version yet. The crew designed Godzilla to be ferocious, violent, and dynamic with a static, godlike aspect. Its dorsal fins were made more spiky and ferocious, as if its regenerative energy had become disorderly. Yamazaki stated that the team also tried to make this Godzilla the deadliest in history, and I think they accomplished that.
Yeah.
By far.
This definitely... See, a lot of the times where, you know, he was roaming through a village, everybody could just run out of the way and, like, you know, as long as the train you were on wasn't in his direct path. Like, Legendary Godzilla kind of goes out of his way to not kill people.
He's what we think of Godzilla, the legendary monster versus Godzilla, is kind of what comes to mind. You know, the not always like scary, kind
if
of
if
benevolent.
He's fighting something, like all bets are off, there's nothing else matters.
Right.
But he like, doesn't go out of his way to, you know, intentionally destroy buildings.
He doesn't want to destroy your city, but, you know...
If he has to destroy your city to kill the Mudos or,
you know, if
whatever.
Fucking Ghidorah comes, then all bets are off.
I mean, there have been instances, like we were talking about him absorbing too much energy and, like, needing to blow off steam, like, literally. I was watching the final fight between him and Destoroyah when he was burning Godzilla, and his body temperature reached 1,200 degrees Celsius, and his dorsal plates melted. And he was just, like, spouting energy off everywhere. And that was one of the things that they've used that a few times. Like, we saw that in King of the Monsters, the legendary version. We saw that in... a little bit in Godzilla X Kong, where he absorbed a bunch of radiation and, like, you could see the heat coming off of him, so he had to go into the water. Same thing with Shin Godzilla. He was overheating, and he had no way of, you know, because of the evolution, he had no way of releasing that energy, so he had to go cool down in the water. But yeah, this version is just... he does not care, and it's very similar, as I'm thinking about this, because we were just talking about how his atomic breath injures him, like, and leaves him vulnerable. It's very similar to the kamikaze attacks of, you know, Japan and World War II, where they're, even though, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to die by crashing my plane into, you know, a boat or, you know, what have you. Like, I'm still going to cause damage to you. You are my enemy. And I think that's a very similar approach, especially because our main character is a kamikaze pilot. I think that's very appropriate, considering the way they depict Godzilla. So, I mean, this was one of the best films that I've seen in the last few years.
Well, and what's crazy is that, you know, we got Godzilla Minus One, and then we got the Monarch Show.
Yep.
And then, you know, most recently, Godzilla X Kong, you know, and every depict, I mean, granted, Monarch and that's part of the Monsterverse. So like that Godzilla depicted in the show is the 2014 version of Godzilla. So like, you know, not much variation between that. Well, actually, yeah, there is between that Monsterverse Godzilla and then the Monsterverse Godzilla that we see in the most recent film. But you get two completely different universes, two completely different vibes to the films, you know, whereas the most recent Godzilla film, Godzilla and Kong, you know, it's that monster movie that we all love. We're rooting for the monsters. The monsters are the best part. You know, monsters are fighting other monsters, and it's just a lot of fun, and it's great. Whereas Godzilla Minus One, so we saw it in the theater. It was definitely more film than I had anticipated, in like the best way. But I was not expecting to have to sit with my feelings for a few minutes before cleaning up my trash and heading out to the car, where I had to sit with my feelings for a little bit more before we headed home. I was not expecting that. This film is, I feel like, the soul of what a Godzilla film really should be. You know, like we said, going back to the days where Godzilla was meant to be a metaphor for, you know, all of the this destruction towards a certain people, you know, and it gets you to think too. And, you know, I'm gonna touch base on the fact that, you know, Oppenheimer had just came out a few months before this.
Yeah, it's like the prequel.
Right. But, you know, it just seeing Oppenheimer, I mean, and here's the thing, you know, if you follow history, if you know what happens, you know, like you just know. But being in a cinema watching Oppenheimer and then being in a cinema, you know, where you can see everything, the visuals are just spectacular and the sound is so cinematic that you feel it. Seeing Oppenheimer, seeing Godzilla Minus One, really effective and really puts things into perspective, because you know, because you read it in the textbooks, you saw pictures and stuff, you know, but it's almost like you feel part of it.
Yeah.
And it just really changes your perspective on things. And I'm not saying that, I mean, I think had I not seen Oppenheimer, Godzilla Minus One still would have had the same effect that it did. But there's just something about having seen that film a few months prior and then seeing Godzilla Minus One again, both films in the theater, both spectacular in their own rights.
Both stunning visual effects.
It's just, yeah. I don't know. It just Godzilla Minus One moved me in ways that I wasn't expecting, and like,
yeah, it definitely.
Thinking back to seeing, you know, to being in that theater and watching it, again, just having to sit there, because it just, even with Shin Godzilla, you know, like it was intense, but it was still fun. Like, Godzilla Minus One wasn't fun, but by God, was it fucking entertaining.
Yeah, it definitely, it hit every beat. It was very emotional. It wasn't like, oh, I'm having a good time, let me get my, you know, Godzilla Minus One commemorative popcorn bucket and
right, yeah.
Like, this was like, I feel like I need to call my mom.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think this is a good place to wrap up, and we'll take a quick break, and we come back, we'll let you know what's coming down the pipeline.
We have battle results.
Yeah, I was going to say, and we have battle results, and yeah, so we'll be right back.
Right back.
are back. That, of course, may be one of the most famous Godzilla songs.
They say he's got to go, 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 Godzilla.
That might be the. That might be the title of the episode. Go, go, Godzilla.
Ooh.
Yeah. At least you know that one.
I knew the other one.
You knew. Like, you got some of the notes, but not in the order that you would get them in the song.
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah. So why don't you think about giving us battle results?
So last week, we threw down my job. It's just beach. Battle of the beach. Which beach-going boy toy has what it takes to best his opponents in a beach-off? What is a beach-off? It's whatever you want it to be. The sandbox was Malibu Beach, and you could choose from Ken, Ryan Gosling in the Barbie the movie, Mitch Buchanan, that is David Hasselhoff from the Baywatch show, Matt Brody, that's Zac Efron from the Baywatch movie, or Chad Gates, that's Elvis from Blue Hawaii. And you all voted, it's just Ken.
It is just Ken.
Oh, the Kenergy.
Yeah, he is Knuff.
He is Knuff.
Yes.
I'm just Ken.
So we hope you enjoyed that discussion about Godzilla Minus One. If you haven't seen it, I don't know what to tell you. You should have gone out to the theater. I am eagerly awaiting my Godzilla Minus One figure that I ordered from Super 7. I am also sorely tempted to pre-order the pink Zilla, but it's $120.
Oh!
But we can always pay in four, so like, and it looks so good.
Just send me the link. Send me the link.
But yeah,
pink Zilla.
The Godzilla stuff is not remotely done because we have to talk about Godzilla X Kong.
Pinkzilla!
So that's going to happen within the next couple of weeks because
we may or may not be having a guest next week. So we'll talk about that more later. If we do have a guest, it's going to be a fabulous conversation. If we don't have a guest, it's also going to be a fabulous conversation because we'll be talking about Pinkzilla.
Yes, and we should definitely get some other folks on here that not so much regarding Godzilla, but we have some folks that we need to talk to about some of their projects that they have coming up.
We have friends.
Yes.
And they're doing some fantastic things.
They are.
And you should know about it.
Yes. So we're going to try and get them on and talk to them because they need to be talked to and about.
That was very eloquently put.
I'm very tired.
We're going to talk at them and to them, and it's going to be a good time.
So I think with that being said, we should probably wrap this up, and we will
see you next Thursday.